We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We'll be starting the building up of the church through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As we think back in chapter 12, we had read about so many of the spiritual gifts that were given by the Holy Spirit. And we need to remember that all spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. You cannot earn it, work for it, do anything to get it. And chapter 13 was all about love. And all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are to be exercised in love, agape love. No matter what, if you use any of the gifts and talents you have in the Spirit, without love, it's nothing. Absolutely nothing. The church in Corinth was blessed completely with so many being gifted by the Spirit. And some of the people, and this is why what was happening at this church, and this is why Paul had to write this letter. A lot of the people that had gifts were feeling more spiritual than others. And I've heard that and I've seen that at times and in churches where people will say, we're spiritually gifted. And I'll think, Without love, it's nothing. And whenever people start to feel that way about a talent or a gift that God has given them, that brings in pride. And pride can cause serious problems, and that's what was happening at the church here also. What was happening was people were focusing on the spiritual gifts of God. Tongues was one that was very prevalent prophecy. The gift of tongues is one that can bring on pride and a very definite feeling of super spirituality. It can, and I've seen it so many times. We're going to look at it today and next week and for about 2 or 3 weeks here. I will say this. If God has given you this gift of tongues, remember it is a gift. It is a gift. And you didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. And you don't deserve it. So that makes it pretty simple. God, any spiritual gift is always given to build up the church and to reach the lost for Christ. That's it. It's the continuation and ministry and mission of Jesus Christ. I will add this. Tongues is just one of many spiritual gifts. And each gift is given to fulfill the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ and be used to reach the lost. The whole point is to reach the lost. And gifts are given to minister to meet the needs of the people. That's what it's all about. It's not about raising ourselves up. Keep in mind, we're always to be others-centered. So let's read. We finished chapter 13 last week. Chapter on the gift of love. So 14 starts out, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. When you read that, you ought to see it real quick. We're to be other-centered. But as we finished 13, and it was on that spiritual gift of love. And if you recall, without love, none of those gifts mean anything. So what's Paul open us up? He says, pursue love. Pursue love. This is a strong reminder. That should be our focus. To pursue love above all the other gifts. I'll just tell you that right now with spiritual gifts. You are to, and we're going to see, you are to desire the other gifts. And I think even when you go into the people want to speak in tongues or prophecy or whatever, and I'll get in a little more of that. So if you were to say, hey, Lord, are you going to give me the gift of tongues? If so, for every time you'd ask for something like that, ask at least 100 times for the gift of love. Truly. And I believe that so heartedly in my heart. All spiritual gifts are very, very important. They are very important. But none comparison to the gift of love. Think about this. When you love on people and you love like God loves us, things can happen. Things can truly happen. When we think about love, in every place on the earth, it's the greatest need. Hands down. Love. And it is the answer to all needs. Love. Jesus loved us so much, he gave up his life. God loved us so much, he gave up his son. Why? So we would be eternally blessed. Agape love is active. So you can't just say, I love a person, I'm going to sit back and not help, do something like that. Agape love is active. And when we actively love on people, we're meeting their needs. So think about it. Where does people, we want to meet their needs. When we're actively loving on them, we're meeting their needs. One way or another, however it comes about. It does say pursue, and pursue is active. So when it says pursue love, means we're to continue on and on and on. Ask God for that love. That gift. Lord, fill me with your love. I want to love more. It means that we never give up seeking God for that spiritual gift. Now, it does say after pursue love, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. We as believers are to seek the spiritual gifts. We're to do that. Earnestly desire them. In other words, ask God. Don't answer this, but when was the last time you asked God for the spiritual gifts? You're going to go, maybe some go, gee, I never did. Well, ask God. But understand, and I truly think this is important, Lord, I would love to have more spiritual gifts, but I want the gift of love so that I can handle those gifts and do it all in love in every way. I think we need to also, when we go to ask for spiritual gifts, check our motives. Check our motives. Remember, we're humans, so we have that sinful nature that really can stink at times. I mean, it can really stink. Are we seeking these spiritual gifts to exalt our selves or God? Yeah, I may think about that a minute. Are we wanting to exalt God and minister to the people? Or do we want to exalt ourselves? We're human, folks. We like to lift ourselves up. I remember way back when I went in, I worked for the top five largest company in the world, and when they brought me in the office to go, and I kept seeing people were trying to step on people to move up that corporate ladder. I didn't like that. In fact, I went to my boss and said, I don't want to do this. I want to go back out in the field where I know what I'm doing. But I do think on the spiritual gifts that, yes, we're to desire. Scripture says that. But I think we need to ask God for his outpouring of his love so we can handle the responsibilities of being gifted by God for other spiritual gifts. You know, you think about it, to prophesy, to speak in tongues, I'd rather have the gift of love. Those others, because without it, those don't mean anything. And I think we need to ask for that gift of love continuously, because if he does give you the gift of prophesying or of tongues or of any of this, at times, with that extra dosage of love, pride and, we don't want pride and arrogance raising their ugly head in us, do we? Because that's what can happen. We start to think we're pretty darn spiritual. That's not a good place to be, folks. I look at it this way. If God gives me how many gifts or whatever, I want to make sure I got the gift of love grounded firmly. And I'm that vessel. I want to be that vessel that he's pouring it in. And it just, he keeps pouring it in and it's overflowing. His love is overflowing out. I want that. I desire that. It says pursue. So we're to eagerly do that. And one thing you got to remember about spiritual gifts are for believers. That's you guys. They're for believers. And they're to help us carry out the ministry of Christ. So when you say, hey, I'm a Christian. Christian, the word actually Christian means Christ-like. We want to be like Christ. We want to be like Jesus. And what was Jesus doing? Hey, the kingdom's at hand. The kingdom's at hand. Now, Paul says here, pursue those spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So pursue the gift or prophecy. Now, we're going to go into a little more on prophecy here. So we know love is by far the greatest ultimate gift, by a long shot. Then Paul says, prophecy. Now, if you're thinking in your mind what prophecy is, it's probably more than you may be thinking. Because when you look at the next verses here, Paul goes, is going to show it here. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. So he's going to break down tongues first. He explains why prophecy is the gift to be preferred over tongues. Speaking in tongues, it says, as we just read, is speaking to God and not to man. Not to man. The believer speaking in tongues to God, some people may call it a heavenly language, is a language of an unknown. You don't know what you're saying, but the Spirit is uttering these out. God knows what you're saying. Put it for me, please, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. That's why I encourage you, before you start your prayer, say, Lord, Holy Spirit, guide my prayers. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. This is where that heavenly language they'll talk about. This is what it's talking about. Too deep for words. Now, I say this. I'm going to add this in there. It's not in my notes. Yes, ask the Holy Spirit to always guide your prayers. And you think about it, when we pray to Jesus, right? And we pray through Jesus, right? And Jesus is interceding and praying for us to the Father, right? This is the chain. I got challenged here, and I thought about this more and more. Yes, let the Holy Spirit guide your prayers, but start to ask, Lord Jesus, what are you praying to the Father for me? Because that's what I want to pray. I want to line up with you, Lord. Because it says Jesus lives to intercede for us. What are you interceding for? What are you praying for me? What do you got in store for me? I want my prayers to line up with yours. Think about that. What this here, man cannot understand what is being said. It is mysteries in the spirit. It is mysteries. Because it says here, no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. So who is getting exalted? God is, by all means. But a person doing this, they have no idea what they're saying, unless there's an interpreter. They have no idea what they're saying. So this is where pride and spiritual thinking I'm superior to others can really jump in. And that's why we're going to see Paul says to prophesy is so much better. The person speaking in a heavenly language and what was going on here, and you don't, you can start to say, well, gee, I can't do that. And he's doing it. He's got to be way better. She's got to be way better than me. And you can start to feel bad, and they may even start to lord that over you. Why aren't you doing that? This is where it's got to be watched. Check our motives and ask for that extra helping of the love. This is why we want to check ourselves, and this is why we want to ask always for God's love. Mysteries is the deep truth of God's salvation. When it talks, Paul says here, that utters mysteries. It is the deep truth of God's salvation. Look at Acts 2:11 for me, please. Both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Now, tongues can happen in two ways. The heavenly language and what happened at the early church in the book of Acts, where there were people, I was speaking in a language that I don't know, pick one, French or Russian or something. And somebody was there that could understand. That happens, to where somebody will understand or speak in a language, and who's ever there is going, hey, that's in my language, and they can understand it. But it's all about the mighty works of God. It's the deep root of the salvation of God, his plan. And so here Paul then, he's got this, and he says, on the other hand, here we go, the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their upbuilding and their encouragement and their consolation. Speaking to the people. Now we see the advantage of prophecy. Scripture here describes prophecy so perfectly. It's amazing. First, it speaks to the people. What are we to speak? The mysteries of God. God's salvation plan. We are to proclaim the gospel to people so they can understand it. Think back. Have you shared the gospel with somebody? If you did they understand it? You're prophesying. When you speak the word and you make the gospel understand, you're prophesying. The most important message we have in prophecy is the gospel. The gospel is the most important thing. That's everything. That's salvation. Without the gospel, we're lost. Unless you accept the gospel, you're lost. So that's the message we have. It says here, and when we speak this, when we prophesy this, it is to the people for what? Their upbuilding. It is to encourage and build up others, not ourselves. Not ourselves. It does say upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. We go back to that. We are to be others-centered. Others-centered. We are to raise other people up. We're to give them the places of honor. To seek the betterment of others over ourselves. We've been talking about that for quite a long time. That is what we're to do. We're to think of that person more than ourselves. We're to raise and build each person up. Prophecy is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So when you share the gospel, you share God's love, when you're sharing the message of salvation, that is the Holy Spirit speaking through you. It is speaking the gospel message. You're prophesying. Prophecy is predicting and proclaiming God's truth. Predicting and proclaiming God's truth. So when you proclaim God's truth, God has given you the gift of prophecy. So when you think, I don't have any gifts, when you proclaim the gospel, you have the gift of prophecy because you are proclaiming. When you are predicting things and events in future events and things going on, as happens here in Church at Corinth, still happens, can be abused. The world was all going to end Y2K. Do we remember that? Everything was done. And there were all sorts of people prophesying that. Well, the world didn't end. They probably did it too at World War II. There's been a lot of predictions and all that kind of stuff. Hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened yet. So it has been abused, but it still doesn't nullify God's gift into that future. You want to know what's going to happen in the future? It's written in here. It's written in here. Everything that's going to happen. I'll give you a hint. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Things are going to happen. Proclaiming, though, can be abused in that. Here's where the abuse of proclaiming can come into. It's misunderstanding of the gospel. Misunderstanding. Proclamation is to proclaim the word of God accurately. Accurately. We go into great depths to make sure everything in here that I preach is the absolute best I can possibly do. God's help. And when you go into that, you go into, like, the New Testament was originally written in Greek. The Old Testament was in Hebrew. I have dictionaries and books that I go to reference to make sure to get the true understanding of what the English is saying. We're to proclaim the truth accurately. There are cults that proclaim it falsely. It happens. It does happen. Now, what's really interesting here, he does say that one who prophesizes speaks to the people for their upbuilding, their encouragement, and their consolation. Upbuilding, or it may say edification, the actual Greek word means to build the people up. We're to build people up, which means we're at the bottom pushing up. Put it for me, Romans 15:2, please. Let each of us please his neighbor for whose good? His good. We're to please our neighbor for his good, to build him up. Not to tear him down so that I look better. No. That's what we're to do. Paul's telling the church at Rome, hey, we're to build up to others. Raise them up. Support them. Then it says encouragement. It means to strengthen or to encourage. Now, Paul did this, and I got to looking through, and I wanted to show you where Paul would use these words, and he's telling here it's for the encouragement. So when you're there, you're to encourage fellow believers. Put up Acts 11:23, please. Okay, now Paul is going into the, I'll set the stage. He's going into the church at Antioch. When he came and he saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. He's encouraging them. He's saying, hey, come on. Because folks, all of us, there's going to be times where you're going to be, everything's going along smooth, going good. Then there's going to be times where it's not. And you're going to be down in the pits. And you're going to be tough. We're to come alongside and encourage each other to help. Because it's going to be you next time that needs that encouragement. If you encourage others, there may be times where you need that encouragement. Same thing. Also, I looked at when I was going to this, Paul to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians, please, 5:14. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. So Paul here's telling the church of Thessalonica, hey, we're to encourage each other. Because guess what? Hard times come. It can be medical, it can be jobs, it can be family, it can be relationships. You name it. It can happen. And we're to encourage the faint-hearted. Because all of us at times can be faint-hearted. Help the weak. Don't lord it over them. Help them. Help them. Be patient. Oh, that's good. See, we're all supposed to be patient. Very patient. Then he does say in that upbuilding, that encouragement, consolation means to give strength and to give hope. Well, I think God says it best. Put up Isaiah 40, verse 1, please. This is what God says. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. So God's telling us, comfort my people. Comfort them. Okay. That's not a suggestion again. It's a command. How do we do that? Lord, we need your love. We need your guidance by the Holy Spirit. How can we offer comfort if we don't have the Holy Spirit guiding us into the what comfort that person needs? When you go and somebody's running amok and they're down on, they're in the pit, as a believer, we can say, Holy Spirit, what do I got to do to bring them comfort? What do I got to do to bring them encouragement? And let God tell you what to do. Instead of resorting back to, well, I think I ought to do this. Well, instead, Holy Spirit, God, tell me what to do. You know, it could be something very simple. Very simple. Now, Paul is sitting there telling us this, and the one who speaks in tongue, verse 4. And I think this is very telling. The one who speaks in tongue builds up himself. But the one who prophesies builds up the church. So who do we want to build up? Yeah, the church. I don't want to raise myself up. No, I'll blow it. We want to build up. And I can see why the gift of tongues can be abused and definitely misunderstood. People that are gifted, what are they going to do? They're built themselves up. So myself, yeah, I know God says earnestly desire all the gifts. But I can truthfully say, because of stuff like this, the scriptures, I've never went and asked God for the gift of tongues. Never. I've said, Lord, I want to have more compassion. I want to have more empathy. I want to love more, Lord. I want to convey the gospel message better, Lord. I've never asked for tongues. I think if God gave me that gift, I'd mess it all up. I really would. I would just think high and mighty, and I don't want that. Builds up himself. You know, we as humans like to raise ourselves up. Have you ever done that? I'd bet every one of us have at one time or another. We have. It's in our sinful nature. And it stinks. Point blank, folks. It stinks to raise ourselves up. The gift of tongues is important, though. It is. I just don't know if I can handle the responsibility of it for myself personally. But the one who prophesizes builds up the church. That's the one I want everybody here. And you may have thought or wondered if you had a gift from the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret, folks. I have seen the love and the encouragement from this body toward each other. You've been gifted. You've been gifted with prophecy. You proclaim God. You love on people. You share. You encourage. You walk alongside. You have that gift. Praise God for that gift. Maybe somebody has tongues. I don't know. But you have them, I think, as the great ones. Love and the encouragement, compassion, empathy. So, when we look at that, that's the one I want more of, to be able to prophesy, to share that gospel message, to proclaim it in truth. Paul does say in the last verse, now I want you all to speak in tongues. So Paul's saying, hey, I want everybody to speak in tongues. I'll add, except Greg, no. But even more to prophesy. So Paul's saying, I want you all to speak in tongues, but more. Why? Because that's how you proclaim the gospel. That's how you proclaim the truth. That's when you're sharing, you're having coffee with somebody and you share with them the gospel. You're doing what that is. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. Unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. So if there's interpretation there, then the church is built up. It all boils back down to one thing, building the church up, strengthening the church, encouraging the church, walking alongside of each other. He's encouraging believers. Paul is. Hey, I want you all to speak in tongues, but I want you to prophesy. He has told them to pursue and seek the gifts. There's your what you're to do. Pursue and seek the gifts. Why? Because those gifts is how you can reach the lost world. Those are the gifts that you're able to share the gospel of Christ. Without Christ, the world dies. With Christ, you live. But he says, but even more to prophecy, so you're going to be able to share that message. Prophecy is not only predicting the future events, but it's a proclamation of the good news. And that's most important. To proclaim the good news. When you're building up the church, when you're encouraging the body of believers, putting their interests before yours, Paul says you're greater. Wow, that's cool. Because I see that with so many of all of you, really. I see that. Wanting to build each other up. When you're doing the building up of the church, you're not only displaying phileo love, which is brotherly love, but agape love. See, you've got that agape love. No greater gift. Just be that. Scripture says there are vessels for use and there's vessels for honor. I want you to be a vessel of honor. And God says he pours his spirit into us. Just keep it coming. Let it fill up, overflow. So that wherever you go, you're just sharing God's love. You're doing what God has called you to do when you are loving people. God has called. Remember, what are the two commandments? Love your God with all your heart, mind, soul. Love your neighbors, yourself. We only have two commandments that is Jesus laid out. With that, you've summed up everything. Everything is in those two commandments. You're fulfilling your calling. Each one of us has been called to love. When you do that, you're fulfilling your own calling. I did want to go back, and I was going to read 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Run that you may attain that prize. And I truly see that in so many of you are running that race, displaying love, encouragement of others, welcoming, hugging on people, by all means. Now, it does say here, unless someone interprets. But when someone interprets in tongues, it's so the church will be built up. Because the if somebody were to speak something and nobody interprets it, and we're going to go into that as 14 goes on into that, tongues, there has to be interpretation. Otherwise, it's nothing. The gift of tongues is to build up the church with interpretations. Understanding that tongues builds up believers, we need to understand it's got to be other-centered. Building up others. Keep that focus. Building up others ahead of yourself. All gifts of the Holy Spirit are for ministering and encouraging others. Every single gift is for doing that. To minister and to encourage others. All gifts. Jesus was always instructing, encouraging, and building up other people. That's what we want to do. And when I look over this particular body of believers, I see Christians. Little Christ. That's cool, folks. When I see people hugging on each other and welcoming, and it's like a joy to see one another, that's the joy that I get, that God lets me see that. And I enjoy that. That brings a lot of happiness to see people really, truly loving and encouraging others. What a blessing it is. Praise God. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I want to praise you and thank you for this time we've had, Lord, to worship you, to praise you, God. And Lord, we thank you for giving us more understanding of your holy word. Lord, we seek you. Lord, your word says if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And so by studying your word, Lord, and going over it, we're seeking you. We're wanting to draw closer to you, Lord. And you draw closer near to us. We thank you for that, Lord. You're a gracious, loving, merciful God. And we praise you all the more, Lord. We do need strengthening. We do need encouraging to keep walking. Walk in that faith, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Worship team, come forward, please.